This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Our next guest is an elite runner, a competitor in the 2016 Rio Olympics, and a gold medalist in the steeplechase at the 2018 Commonwealth Games in Australia. Aisha Pratt-Lear was raised in Moline, Illinois, ran track at Illinois State, and now runs as part of the Jamaican national team. In 2019, she made the World Championship Finals in the 1500 meter, and now she's hoping to compete in that event at the 2020 Olympics. And yes, they are still calling it Tokyo 2020, even though the pandemic has pushed the games into this summer of 2021. Aisha Pratt-Lear, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, as always, we invite you to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. So, Aisha, what is your timeline between today and, I think I read it's August 2nd, when round one of the 1500-meter race is scheduled for the 9 a.m. round of events, Japan Standard Time?
Yes, you're right. August 2nd is the day on my mind. But from now until then, it's still a lot of days to train, still a lot of days to get better. I train every day, sometimes twice a day, mostly twice a day. I probably will have one day off from now until then, and I will be racing a few times, sort of perfecting my craft and getting ready.
Can you take us back to last year? And we spoke, some listeners will remember, we spoke with you last April about running in the pandemic. A lot of people were taking up that hobby as they had to sort of distance themselves and found it was a good way to spend this newfound free time they had, not commuting and so forth. But as an elite athlete, can you take us back to that time and the decision to delay the games by a year? How did you feel about that back last year?
I think the hardest part was dealing with the indecision before the decision was made. What is this going to happen? What's it going to look like? How ready do we need to be? What is my year going to look like? And as soon as the announcement was made that it was delayed, it was almost an exhale. It was such a troubling time for the whole world. And there was a small amount of guilt that I was carrying that, hey, are we really going to have an Olympic Games in the middle of a global pandemic? So getting that announcement, hearing, okay, you have a year. It was an exhale and then a time to sort of put my head down and just go to work. And in a lot of ways, it was a bonus year. It was a bonus year for training, for getting totally healthy, body and mind and revamping for another year. I think you'll see a lot of athletes gaining time back on their career, not having to rise to these occasions. Races are very hard. It's very trying on the body and mind. I like to say it's like lighting a match, and you have a finite amount of matches in your career. And not racing last year, I think, will give me a little bit of extra time at the end of my career.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I think when we think of the elite athletes such as yourself, especially in, not team sports, soccer players are competing year round in different leagues and so forth. But I mean, your life is sort of scheduled around these major events, right? World Championships, because you race for a Commonwealth country, the Commonwealth Games, the Olympics. So this was a bonus, though, not an impediment to your training and sort of cycle, I guess.
No, I mean, I think look, for older athletes, which maybe I might be considering entering the twilight years of my career, but for athletes that are, around 35, 36, I think having the delay in a year was not great. But for a lot of younger athletes, or a lot of athletes sort of entering their prime, which I am now, it really was a bonus.
You know, I think to those of us, so maybe we can talk a little bit about your training, because I think those of us who observe running from the outside, or maybe do it ourselves, it seems like a solitary, a very lonely sport. How do you experience that?
I think that's true in a sense, but I'm really lucky to train in a group setting. And in the U.S., you're seeing a lot of training groups, elite training groups form, where you have 10 to 20 athletes training at a very high level, training together. And then, of course, you go out and you race alone. And that's really solitary. But for me, I train with eight other women who have you know, a myriad of goals, but all pretty similar, like a pretty tight bandwidth. I have a training partner who wants to win an Olympic gold medal, and I have a training partner who wants to make the Olympic team. So we're looking at a really tight bandwidth, but there is a bit of distinction between us. However, we run together, and I say a lot that it's like hanging out in motion, going for easy runs. We talk the whole time. We catch up on what shows we watched, what we ate for dinner. And then, you know, we show up to the track for these intensity days. And, you know, we're not saying a lot. The training is very difficult, but we have each other to lean on in those moments to share the lead, to push each other, to make each other better. And then we, you know, we go from there to the gym and we lift weights for an hour and we have camaraderie there. So I think that running is turning into not a solitary sport. The racing, yeah, you're alone. It's only you and your will to persevere. But training is almost like a team sport now. And I think it's really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you look on your Instagram page, that's the hashtag boss ladies. And I don't know if you all adopted that yourselves or somebody put that title on you, but I wonder, you know, does it help that you have different events, different sponsors, even compete for different countries?
Totally. I think what we have on our group is very, very special. There, for whatever reason in society, women can be competitive against each other. And that is not what we foster in our group. We all have a unique set of skills, different personalities, but we really believe in raising each other's games. And her success is my success, is her success. And that's something that makes our group really unique, is that we genuinely like each other, care for each other, and want each other to have success, even if that means that one of my training partners beats me on any given day. If we're both running fast, we're both succeeding. And that really defines our group. And that's at the heart of everything that we do.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Aisha Pratt-Lear, who is an Illinois native, or at least was raised in Illinois in the Quad Cities in Moline, is now a middle distance runner for Jamaica, looking ahead to the 2020 Olympics, which of course are taking place later this summer in 2021 in Tokyo. I want to ask, last year, Sports Illustrated interviewed a number of track athletes who are Black about their experiences with racism. And you talked about sometimes feeling like you were living a double life and even had a sense of survivor's guilt. Can I ask you to talk about what you meant by that?
Sure. I live a very, very charmed life. I right now am training in the most wonderful small town of Crested Butte, Colorado. It's at 9,000 feet elevation. I get to run and feel safe and have very little stress or anxiety about, you know, the difficulties of normal life of being a Black woman in America. And it's difficult when I read the news, when I go to a city and am then standing and faced with the issues that women who look like me deal with in the United States. And, you know, it's sometimes difficult to feel like, am I doing enough? Am I speaking up enough? Am I fighting for the rights of other people who just could be exactly the same as me, but just live in a different place, have a different job, grew up in a different set of circumstance. And last year was a big awakening for a lot of people, myself included, to do more for other people, to try to make their lives, you know, just the tiniest bit better. It's a difficult topic.
Yeah. You know, I also wanted to ask about, it's recently been in the news that one of the greatest tennis players in the world, Naomi Osaka, pulled out of the French Open. And she talked about having these long bouts of depression, which have been, in her view, exacerbated by these mandatory press conferences. Open officials were insisting she had to do them, so she decided to withdraw. What I want to ask you, though, is how being an elite athlete can affect your mental health.
I think it's twofold. One, And you see this in a lot of endurance training. The type of training that we do can really affect your body and really affect your mind. There is a lot of sort of like hormonal suppressant actions that happen within your body. If you're running 100 miles a week, it's difficult sometimes to refuel your body to the level that it needs. And, you know, you start seeing magnesium deficiencies, vitamin D deficiencies, and the body and mind are connected. And there's a topic that a lot of older athletes seem to be now discussing, this idea of training depression, where what we're doing on a day-to-day basis is making our systems sort of shut down and sort of lull you into a physical depression, where now all of a sudden your brain chemistry is altered. And how do you come out of that? How do you refuel your body to refuel your mind? And that's a topic that I think we'll see a lot of in the future. I'd love to see some studies done in the future about what exactly is happening within us with all this training that we have. And then the other side of that is your identity can sometimes slip into your performances. And how do you draw a line to define yourself like, hey, my name's Aisha. I'm a full functioning human being. I'm more than just my performances. I'm not a time and a place on a sheet of paper. I have value other than my athletic performance. And that becomes really difficult when your livelihood is based upon your performance, how much you're paid, how much press you get, how people speak about you, how people regard you is based on how fast you run and who you beat in a race. It can be really difficult and challenging, but I'm really lucky. I've been working with a really great psychologist based out of Eugene for the last, 6 years or so. And, you know, I feel really, really lucky that I have sort of a community that keeps me grounded and reminds me that I'm bigger than my sport. And I think that's a very delicate line to walk.
Interesting. So unfortunately, we've only got about a minute and a half left in our conversation. I do want to ask, and I think this ties into what you were just talking about, you know, the athlete's mind and body and how training can be punishing to both. And you decided you won a gold medal in steeplechase at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. And then you decided to switch events to the 1500 meter. I think I saw a quote in women's running, "I'm a crazy person and decided to walk away from the steeple where I was in the top 10 in the world to one of the deepest, most talent filled events." Can you talk about that decision and how the 100 or the 1500 meter is different and what you hope to achieve?
Yeah. Wild choice I made there, but honestly, the steeple is grueling, and I saw some kind of scary injuries that were happening with my body. And I felt that I got to a point that, look, I have achieved everything I'm going to achieve in this event. And actually, I love the mile. I always have. I love racing. I love tactics. I love that sprint-based sort of dynamic racing that you get with the 1500. And I'd seen some success. I was sixth at the Indoor World Championships in the 1500 in 2018. And I thought, hey, I can do this event too. It's deep, it's fast. There are some of the best athletes in the world running this event. We saw the world record broken in 2019. I expect it'll get broken again this year, but I'm up for the challenge and I have the skill set to be competitive in this event. So I'm giving it a chance, and I think it'll prolong my career, not steepling any longer.
Well, Aisha Pratt-Lear, I want to wish you the best of luck as on the road to Tokyo. And thank you so much for opening up and spending the time with us. I hope we can talk with you again.
Thanks so much.
Aisha Pratt-Lear was raised in the Quad Cities in Moline. She ran for Illinois State. Now she runs for the Jamaican national team on the road to Tokyo. 2021, or I guess Tokyo 2020, taking place in 2021. We will be following her and other Illinois Olympians in the weeks ahead. And that is it for our show today. Quick update, if you caught our interview yesterday with some bicyclists working across the state, their plan was to arrive at Lake Michigan by 7. We heard they were off by a few hours, but they did make it, dip that front wheel in the lake. That is it for today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian. Thanks for listening. Brian Mackey, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.